Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 28, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Oh, when in the night I meditate on mercies multiplied, my grateful heart inspires my tongue to bless the Lord, my guide. And what follows, Psalter 28, the first three stanzas. Thank you. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Acts 27, the verses 21 through 36. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts 27, the verses 21 through 36. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded, and found a 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again, and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern, and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, "This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you." And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. Thus far, the scripture reading. Hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Henry and Colleen Van Harten, who were blessed with the birth of a baby boy. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Eternal, unchangeable, almighty God, Father, a Son, and Holy Ghost, the fountain of all mercies, thou who art everywhere present, an all-knowing God, an all-sufficient God, a God that is of pure eyes than to behold evil, an ever faithful God, an ever good doing God. We have the evidence thereof in this morning and in the past week, where thou hast graciously watched over each and every one of us, that we may continue our journey through the time to that never-ending eternity. Then thou by renewal hast made a great difference, where great multitudes were ushered out of this time state into that never-ending eternity, and their lot has been forever cast. Lord, then the world and we with them, then we are monuments of thy goodness and of thy patient long-suffering, a world which thou hast created so perfectly, Thou hast created Adam and Eve as the jewels of creation, given to praise thy great and worthy name. Thou wast given unto mankind the precious gift of the Lord's day, and now on this day, then in comparison, that there are so few that have respect for thy day, a day of separation, a day to come up to thy courts, to place themselves under thy word, an eternal testimony, O Lord. Then thou still granteth unto us and our children that we may still freely come up to thy courts. Wilt thou grant a little bewonderment, and perhaps in this morning a few Sabbath breakers have come up, were already in this day, that our hearts can be so filled with the earthly things, Lord, then it is necessary that we may become ashamed because of our sins and burdened because of our debt. Then thou wast given unto mankind thy precious word, where thou hast declared that thou wast given thy dear Son as a gift, that sinners may be saved, and not only granted that precious gift, but that thou hast instituted, given the means of grace to that end. Then thou granted the work of thy Holy Spirit, that there may be a church gathered. It is written in thy holy word, he that believeth on the Son hath life, but he that believeth not, the wrath of God abideth on him, O Lord. Then we humbly beg of thee, that in this morning hour, and that in this day, it may be the time of thy sovereign good pleasure, that thy church may be multiplied, that sinners may be wrought upon, to be placed in their guilt and in their missing, thy love shed abroad in the heart, to set their face Zionwards, to seek for a way whereby they may be pardoned and reconciled with thee. Lord, remember thy people. Thou knowest who they are. Thou knowest where they are encamped. Thou knowest how they have come up to thy house. May there be food in thy house for their instruction and for their comfort, to be led further into the riches of a work of a triune God. Lord, that is the portion that each and every one needs. How terrible it shall be, Lord, how terrible it is to be an unconverted sinner, and then under such a precious gospel. But, thou wast written in thy word, that thou wast looked down upon the children of men, to see if there were any that sought thee. And then thou hast recorded there were none. They have all went astray. They understood not, but, Lord, come then down with thy Holy Spirit. May it please thee in the latter days of the earth to do a great and a mighty work amongst us. Thou wast promised, then in the week, then thou wast granted that the sun may shine in its brilliance, and that the moon may reflect that brilliance. And thou wast promised in thy word that they shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. May that be fulfilled, May that grant courage, and may it bring us oftentimes on our knees to be given to humbly beg of thee, that thou may be fulfilled in a rich measure amongst us and our children, O Lord. May that little son that was born in this week, may he be included among that number. Wilt thou grant unto that father and mother, where thou wast blessed them for the second time in their married life, with such a precious little gift. May they be humbled thereunder. May they become small. May it be the goodness of the Lord that leadeth to repentance. Wilt thou strengthen the mother? Remember them in their blessing and with the increased responsibility. Likewise also the grandparents and the great-grandparents. Then we commend unto thee the mothers with the unborn. Wilt thou graciously watch over them and bless them in due time with thy deeds. Lord, so we commend all the blessings, and they are manifold. They cannot be numbered when our ship may continue to sail on smooth waters. May it then be thy goodness that brings us at thy footstool and binds us closer to thy word. But there are also trials and afflictions. Lord, do continue to remember and uphold the mourning ones in our midst, with those empty places that remain empty and at times only seem to become emptier. May the callings, may they be sanctified. Remember the elderly ones in the evening of their life, and remember sick and afflicted ones, pain, weariness of the body, fears and cares, it is all known unto them. Do surround them with thy care and with thy compassion, and Lord, when it continues, then we can become so discouraged. May it be with the psalmist of old, when my soul was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. May all the callings be sanctified. We commend unto thee the handicapped ones. Remember all the family circles. Lord, grant a rich blessing in the midst of thy church in this day, wherever it may gather. May the kingdom of Satan be disturbed. May it be diminished. May it be broken down. And the glorious kingdom of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, may it be expanded and may it be strengthened. We humbly ask thee, Lord, for thy gracious help. Anoint with fresh oil from above. May we be given to speak as a dying man to a dying people. May it be as we read in thy word of the apostle Paul, and knowing the terror of the Lord we persuade men, but he has also written to the church that the love of Christ constraineth us. And then there was that beseeching that they would be reconciled with thee. Lord, we commend unto thee the families that are gathering in a distant place. Wilt thou help the readers in this day? Grant thy indispensable blessing. Wilt thou grant Aaron's and hers, Lord, dwell so richly amongst us. Be a surprising God, thou wast promised to never forsake the work of thy hands. And may it be also in this day that seekers may become finders, that they may return to their dwellings with unspeakable joy, O Lord. Oh, we do not only need those goodly pearls, but we need that pearl of great price for the pardoning of all of our sins. Ah, do it then for the glory of thy great and worthy name. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 244, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. O Lord, through all the generations of the children of our race, in our fears and tribulations, thou hast been our dwelling place. And what follows? The extra collection today is for the school. Psalter 244, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Thank you. In this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for the portion of Scripture, Acts 27, the verses 27 through 36, and we shall read the verses 28 through 31. And sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast for anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Our text words speak of Paul's comforting leadership as the storm-tossed ship approached a certain island. With four thoughts in the first place, exact soundings taken. Secondly, four anchors cast. Thirdly, an obligatory abiding. And fourthly, an indispensable strengthening. Paul's comforting leadership as the storm-tossed ship approached a certain island. Exact soundings taken. Four anchors cast. An obligatory abiding and an indispensable strengthening. Beloved congregation, we have heard the last times the blessing and the privilege of the people of God. The Apostle Paul, as a servant and ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ, a child of the living God, where he has been wrought upon by the Spirit, has been taught in the things of the Lord, has been reconciled through the work of Jesus Christ, but where he was given to experience, because in the life of his people the Lord does not only begin that work, but he continues that work, and he has promised to care them to the very end. Then for the Apostle Paul on that ship, in the great storm upon that large Mediterranean Sea, then the King at the right hand of the Father, he has watched over him and has preserved him. It is true. Many a times for the true child of God, it shall go through the depths, it shall go through the impossibilities, but Christ has written his people upon that breastplate, the intercessor at the right hand of the Father. We have a beautiful example thereof already in Matthew 14. When the disciples were constrained to go in the ship and sail to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, then it is specifically mentioned that Christ went up onto a mountain to pray also for that little ship, that that ship shall not sink. Oh, then that faithful God, then we have heard it. He has sent his angel, and the angels of the Lord, as I read in Psalm 34, verse 7, The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. And then Christ has sent an ambassador, an angel, to Paul in the midst of that stormy sea, and has given such a wonderful message. And then he has declared concerning that ship, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." And then in verse 24, saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." I read in Psalm 25, verse 14, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant." And concerning that promise, then Paul was given to relate, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." And then in the following verses, we read of much labor, much activity by all on the ship to save their ship and their lives. That is special instruction for us and our children. In the decree of God, it lies firm in the Lord's providence, and that has been related to Paul, who was told all on the ship that there would not be a single life lost except the ship. And then in the following verses, activity by Paul and by all that were on the ship. Thus then in this chapter, it is simply explained the sovereign decree of God that the Lord fulfills all what he has decreed already in that never begun eternity, and it shall all come to pass. But we do not read that people on that ship, that they have spoken to one another, and that they said, "Then we may take out our chair," because the Lord has promised that no, they were given to use the means. May that be instruction for us and our children. Ah, what a questions and what a stumbling blocks there can be concerning that sovereign degree of God, concerning that degree of election. Oh, we have heard it concerning that ship. The Lord has revealed that they would be saved, but they have not become passive. They have become active with what Paul has related to them, that has excited them to activity to try to save their ship. Do you hear, congregation? How is it with us? We have said the congregation can be compared to a ship. The Lord shall fulfill all his counsel. The Lord has declared in his holy word that a church must and shall be saved. But the Lord has also declared in his holy word that he has appointed the means to that end, that a church shall be saved, and he has added the promise that the means of grace, that they shall be blessed. How is it now with us, congregation? With that holy activity, have we become busy with the things of the Lord that people on the ship did not say to each other. Paul has now told us that we shall all be saved. Thus let us not be so busy and so active, not so concerned about the ship, because we shall be saved. No, that is not what we read in this chapter. We read that they have become busy, that they have become active, that they may be saved. May that be instruction for us and our children, for the family circles, that we may be given to faithfully to use the means of grace. Know that people on the ship, with all their efforts, the storm was so great, the waves were so high, that of themselves they could never save that ship. But yet, with the promise that the Lord has given to Paul, and Paul has declared in verse 25, "For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Read in Hebrews 11, verse 1, that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things seen. And faith is a gift merited by Christ, which is given to the church in the moment of regeneration in its essence, and each time by renewal in its exercise. Oh, then of Paul, because we have heard it last time, that Paul has received that promise and also told that they would be close to a certain island. But now in our text words it speaks of midnight, thus a whole day of waiting. Oh, then it can be under those circumstances that Paul has said unto Luke and Aristarchus, "Oh, the Lord has told me." It was told by an almighty God who has all things in his hand, a God of truth who shall fulfill everything that has been spoken, not one word. Thus, brothers, look not so sad. Oh, it is true, there's a day of waiting, but the Lord has said it. We are close to a certain island, does it not, shall not be so long. And now for the church to learn, oh, in that time, are there waiting souls in my midst? Waiting souls. Then you shall be able to tell what you are waiting for. And that is not always such an easy time, although looking back, then the church may be given to see that it can also be such a blessed time. Abound. Why does the Lord not make his church wait? Oh, in the first place to glorify himself and his attributes, and everything of man shall be excluded. The second place, that his church as that dove may more oftentimes be bound at the throne of grace. Lord, hast thou not spoken it? And I have waited so long, and that unbelief and the devil. Oh, in that time of waiting, then their prayers, they need to be more cleansed of self, a privilege and a blessing, when they become more exercised in that time of waiting with the first and second petition, "Thy kingdom come, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." Oh, in the time of waiting, then they are given to learn more of self. The Lord can never do it because of what they have received and what they may possess. Then they learn in the time of waiting that they can become weary, can even become rebellious. the Lord in the time of waiting, to glorify his attributes it shall be, in his way and in his time, a privilege when in the time of waiting, that they may be led further into the mysteries of salvation, needing Christ as their prophet, their priest, and their king. And now our first thought, exact soundings taken, because we read, but when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, oh, at that time, they did not really know where they were in that large Mediterranean Sea. Because in the midst of the sea, we have no landmarks, no lighthouses, and we have heard it for such a people. Then what a wonder it becomes when the sky may break up a little bit and they may even see one star. Then they are filled with joy unspeakable, given to praise the Lord, that the Lord still knows of them, and a hope that they are on the right path. But for the ship, our ship, in that large Mediterranean Sea, did not know where they were. The Lord has revealed, close to a certain island, and about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. They have heard the crashing of the waves upon a shore, a clear indication they were not so far from land. And to that end, they have sounded. What is that, boys and girls? Then shipmen, with a very heavy object on a rope, then they let that object down into the water till they felt that the tension was off the rope, so the object has hit the bottom of the sea, and then they have measured that rope. Many questions could be asked. Of course, it is not all written in God's word. It was midnight, no moon, no stars, pitch dark. Whether it was possible in that great storm to still have a few lanterns burning, we do not know. It is possible that that weight on that rope was on a reel. Thus, in the darkness, they could count the number of times that that reel has went around, and then they have sounded, and the first time it was 20 fathoms, and a fathom was from a man with his arm stretched out from the tip of his fingers to the tip of his fingers, maybe 6 feet, a large man, maybe a little more, let us say 2 meters. Thus, the first time, it was 40 meters, and then a little later, it was 15 meters, thus clear evidence that they were approaching to land. Thus, that people on that ship, the sailors, the crew, they have sounded concerning the depth and concerning the shore. Does that also take place in our life, congregation? Do we sound and do we measure? In a context that speaks of a storm. But when we think, when the Lord grants it, in 36 days, then it hopes to be a Thanksgiving day. And what a blessing and what a privilege it is when there may be those special Thanksgiving days in between, and that we are given to sound and measure all our blessings, and that with Job 23 verse 16, that our heart becomes soft. And with Psalm 116 verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits bestowed upon me? Family circles, when our ship may continue to sail along quite smoothly, does not mean there are no trials, no difficulties. We must surely all confess what we read in Ezra 9 verse 13, that the Lord dealeth not as our iniquities deserve. Then what a privilege and what a blessing when there may be that sounding, and that we may become so small and so humble. But in the context, then it was a sounding concerning a shore, perhaps many rocks. When that ship would come on those rocks, it would be shipwrecked. And Christ has taught his church in Mark 13 to watch and to pray. Then also concerning the signs of the time, as written in God's word, and it has become evident, we would say, the world has never been such a wicked and perverse place. It is true. Already in Genesis 18 and 19, we read of Sodom and Gomorrah, but we do not read of the sin of transgenderism. Thus we would say, if we are honest, when we read the scriptures and the history of the church, it is true, there have been very dark and evil times, but that mankind has become so bold concerning the two roses of paradise, we would say there has never been such a time. Do we also sound? And are we given to ponder and consider it? And does it bring us on our knees? Oh, Lord, we and our children, we may still journey on our little ship. Thou grantest many precious and good things. Oh, we have to confess that I take so much for granted, but the sea of this world is becoming such a rough and such an evil place. And it is true, Lord, thou hast everything in thy hands. But when we read the book of Revelation, what judgment shall come upon the world, and then the necessity that we may belong to that blessed people, that people of God whom Christ has purchased for body and soul, oh, young and old, may that sounding be used, the proclamation also of the solemnity of the time, that it may please the Lord by his Spirit to use it, that we may be given to seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near, may still be proclaimed that there is such a great and such a rich Savior, that the chiefest of sinners may be saved. The crew, they have sounded. How close? Of course, sometime the sea goes gradually upward to the beach. But there are also places where if we would walk into the water, that it goes gradually and all of a sudden it drops. Many people have drowned in that way. Thus, that is also instruction. And now concerning that sounding, then I read in Psalm 39, verse 4, teach us to number our days, to measure our days. Does that also take place, congregation? Do we sound oftentimes, considering our age? And we have said the bottom of the ocean does not always go on a smooth incline. Teach us to measure our days. Moses, oh, in the wilderness he has seen so many funerals. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, and that we may be given to seek and to find the Lord. Oh, that sounding also concerning those waves, the noise of those waves. And there is a difference in characters. There can be people that we would say fear too much and that are not given to trust in the Lord even in an outward way. But there are also many people that should fear more. But then there can be those special noises, those special waves that we hear. Think of sickness. When there is sickness, when our body is being broken down, then that is also a calling of the Lord. And now the crew, they have sounded, and then they have discovered that they were approaching land. And then we further read, and when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks. Our second thought, four anchors cast. Thus in each of our points, congregation, with the promise that the Lord has revealed to Paul, each of our points, there was activity, diligently using the means with all their strength to save the ship. Let that be deeply impressed upon of all of our hearts. The Lord has decreed the end, but he has also decreed and appointed the means for the fulfilling of that end. And I read in Romans 10 verse 17, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Therefore the calling that we diligently place yourself under the word of God, when there are no lawful reasons. And now we read, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern. And I think, boys and girls, that most of you know what an anchor is. That is a very heavy weight, sometimes maybe with hooks on it, with a very strong cable. And then under special circumstances in a storm, when they feared that they would be crashing against the rocks of the shore, or when they have boarded at a certain place to unload their ship, then such shipmen, they would lower those very heavy objects into the water till they would reach the bottom of the sea, and that would give a little stability to the ship. In our history, then the crew was hoping that that ship would stay in a stable place, because it was dark, it was midnight. They were waiting for the day that the ship would not suffer shipwreck. And when we consider those four anchors, that is also beautiful instruction for the church. It was a comfort for a ship to be equipped properly. Also, to have large anchors with large cables, that they would have those anchors available and for their use. But now we must remember, for those shipmen, then those anchors, when they remained in the ship and was smooth sailing, perhaps they would give a little stability to the ship. But when there was a great storm and they were approaching the coast, then as long as those anchors remained in the ship, it would not profit the ship. And now the Lord has a people that have received many precious gifts by the work of the Spirit from the Lord, because the Spirit grants them faith, hope, love, repentance, tears, reformation, and do not despise them. But concerning, because when we consider the coast, then that is an emblem of that never-ending eternity. And now with that storm, there can be much religion that can have some value when a ship sails smoothly. And it is true. We live in a time, congregation. Oh, in former times, then what descriptions of deathbeds there were, that it has all become reality, where they were given to see that they could not appear before their Maker. But now concerning that ship, now the church needs to learn that those anchors, they need to be cast out of the ship to be a help for their ship as they travel to eternity. We read in Hebrews 6 of those matters. And there the apostle has spoken of the anchor of hope, and that that anchor of hope that needs to be cast outside of us. And of course that anchor that needs a cable, and that is the cable of faith. And now it is necessary for the storm-tossed ship that the true child of God may be given to cast that anchor on a firm foundation, because they can put that anchor wherever in the ship they can move that anchor, but it's not going to profit. That anchor needs to be cast overboard, and that it is let down, and that it finds a firm foundation that may hold that ship in place. And now we read, oh, beautiful thoughts. We read in Hebrews 6 concerning two immutable things where that anchor of hope must be cast. And then there is written that it must be cast within the veil. Ah, that is in the precious mediatorial work of Jesus Christ. That is the foundation of the saving and the salvation of the church. And now concerning, we could speak of many things, that the church is given to cast that anchor in the work of a triune God. Cast concerning the attributes of God. Oh, what a comfort and what a pillar of faith that is for the child of God with their little storm-tossed ship. Oh, then we speak of the wisdom of God, where the Lord has made a way that the chiefest of sinners can be saved, with the upholding and the glorification of all the attributes of God. Oh, the power of God, where we are not able to quell the waves of God's wrath. Oh, the shores of God's justice, those rocks. Then thus the wisdom, the power, the mercy, the faithfulness of God. Thus the necessity that the anchor may be cast out. And then the apostle in Hebrews 6, then he writes of two matters. In the first place, the promises as they are revealed in God's word. And in the second place, that the Lord has accompanied those promises with an oath, that they are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. All for the church to be given to cast those anchors in that covenant of grace, the way that the church is saved. Do you hear it, congregation? Oh, those anchors, a blessing when they may be in the ship, when we have received them by the work of the Holy Spirit. But they need to be used. Ah, the church learns, so dependent upon the working of the Holy Spirit. But those anchors, we rest in our experiences, cannot be missed. When the Lord works, then there shall be experience. But with everything we have received by the grace of God, justice needs to be satisfied. Odd and the crew, they have cast those anchors out, and they have come on solid ground. Let us first sing. Psalter 362, the three stanzas. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. O Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plead, forgiving all, and what follows, 362, the three stanzas. Thank you. Paul's comforting leadership as the storm-tossed ship approached a certain island. Exact soundings taken, four anchors cast, and obligatory abiding. And then we read, they cast four anchors out of the stern and congregation. How the poor the world is. No Bible, no religion, and no God. And when they come into trouble, no place to go. The world shall forsake, and also the devil. The pleasures and the riches of this world shall not help. Then what a privilege and what a blessing it is to be under the external administration of the covenant of grace. And with all our blessings, needs, desire, trials, and in our sins, that the family circles also personally, that we may pray unto the Lord, that we may tell him all, and humbly ask the Lord to help. But that is a blessing for the time. Oh, shall it be well? Then we need to learn by the grace of God, by the work of the Spirit, by the cable of prayer and faith, to be given to cast that anchor into the work of a triune God. And now it is written, and wish for the day. We have sung together out of Psalm 130 of a waiting church given to wait upon the Lord, upon his word, as watchers for the morning. The Lord has a people who know what it is to be a waiting church. And now our third thought. Although that Paul has stated, has repeated it, and has said, I believe God, and it is true. In Romans 14, verse 22, then it speaks that faith is such a personal matter. Then there were crewmen that have thought secretly to be saved in another way. It was in the darkness of the night and under pretense of lowering the anchors, then it was their plan. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, you remember, boys and girls, that under the island Clauda, that smaller boat that was pulled behind the larger boat, we would say the lifeboat, they have taken it up and put it into the ship. And now those experienced shipmen, they were given to realize that most likely that the ship would run aground and that it would all be broken up. And then it was their plan, they thought, if we now take that little boat and go into it, then we sail to the land and then we can be saved. Then of those shipmen, Paul has written to the Philippians in 1 verse 21, 2 verse 21, that each seeketh their own and not the things of Jesus Christ. We live in a time of individualism, that people, self-lovers, think much of themselves and not so much of their neighbor. Still a blessing when God's word may have a place, and when there is need in the congregation, that there is still much compassion, a willingness to help one another. We have said the ship, that is also a type of a congregation of the church. And now there were shipmen that did not firmly believe what Paul has spoken, and they have thought to save themselves and to leave all the rest on that large ship when it would be broken up, thus not loving their neighbor as themselves. Also, when we consider in history, and it has always been a dark world since our deep fall, but to give an example, in the year 1912, on April 14, at about 20 minutes before midnight, the unsinkable Titanic was an awful name. They were given to trust in their wisdom. They have engineered, they thought, that ship in such a way that it could never sink. But 20 minutes before midnight, it struck an iceberg. And about 2.5 hours later, it sunk, about 400 miles off the coast of Newfoundland, more than 2 miles deep. And then they also had lifeboats, not sufficient. And then it is recorded, boys and girls, who did they first put in that lifeboats? Because on that ship, there were some people that were very, very rich. But on that boat, their gold and money and lands could not save them. And then it is recorded that first, wives, mothers, and children were put in those boats before the men. Thus, love for one another, but the shipmen, they only thought of themselves. But Paul was given to see through it. And to that end, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, thus on our boat, we have prisoners, we have the centurion and soldiers on behalf of the Roman Caesar, the Roman Empire, and then we have the crew. And then Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, and it is remarkable that in the scriptures that many centurions, they are spoken of in a favorable sense and clear that there were converted centurions. And the centurion has hearkened to Paul. He has learned from him his mistake, because we have heard it at the Fair Havens that Paul exhorted them not to sail away, but understandably the centurion has listened to the shipman, and now the centurion has learned from his mistakes. That is also a blessing, congregation. We all make mistakes. Then it is a blessing when they may be profitable and we may learn from the same. Oh, it's true, many times then we make other mistakes. How needful that we are given to ask the Lord every day that he may help, guide, and keep us. And then Paul has spoken said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Very profound and very clear words. Also instruction for us. We have said, ship can be compared to the church. Gideon Debray, in Article 28 of the Confession of Faith, has written that everyone is bound to join himself to the true church. And then he has added that outside thereof, there is no salvation. What did Gideon Debray mean? Then he has stressed that the Lord has appointed the means of grace, and under that external administration of the covenant of grace, there the Lord has promised to bless the means of grace and to gather and keep his church. Must not misunderstand it. Does not mean that there can be some place, someone in remote places of the world. Providentially, we shall not broaden it out, where they have come under that word and where the Lord has blessed it. Think of that Ethiopian. But outside of it, there is no salvation. Thus do you hear, congregation. There can be those on the ship of the church that have a little boat and that climb into it to sail away, maybe, in the way of exploration. They return, but usually their returning becomes less till we see that little boat no more. Then we could speak of a boat that sails into the world, places of wickedness, places of vanity. May we be kept. But then we also speak of an easier religion where it can be a people, the doctrine is too harsh, too hard to understand, too hard to reconcile the sovereign decree of God and the responsibility of man, and where the sea does not become calm, that they step in their little boat, they start to explore, do return, but their returning becomes less till we see him no more. Thus, what an admonishment, what Paul has said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. And then a blessing and privilege. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Thus then we read in our text words, we must soon bring our ship to the island, congregation, but the fourth point must remain till the next time, but by renewal. Much instruction for us and our children. The Lord has spoken to Paul that all on the ship, that they would be saved. Not one would perish. God's word declares a church, a chosen church that must and shall be gathered. But God's word also grants many exhortations concerning the means of grace and concerning those means of grace that the Lord's indispensable blessing shall rest upon it, needs to be accompanied with much prayer that the Lord gathers His church under the proclamation of law and gospel, and to that end, the necessity, except ye abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. To that end, the necessity, that we may continually be searching God's holy word, begging that it may be applied and blessed by the Holy Spirit, and that we may learn the wonderful things of the Lord, how it is possible that a poor sinner as I am, that has sinned everything away, that has ruined everything, continues to do so, and with all our efforts we have heard it, much has already been cast aboard, with many fears of the shore of eternity, but that we remain in the ship, and that we are given by the grace of God to wait for the day, because concerning that day, then I read of a precious promise in Malachi 4 verse 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may it please thee to bless the instruction out of thy holy word, also concerning the sovereign decree concerning the saving of the ship, and with that revelation that each and every one on that ship, that they were active with the saving of their ship and of their lives. Lord, do bless the means of grace. Wilt thou grant further instruction also concerning those anchors, Lord. Thou hast a people upon the earth who learn that they are so dependent upon thee, but they shall also experience, as thou wast written and promised in thy word, with a diligent use of means to make their calling and election sure, that it shall be blessed according to thy promise. Lord, wilt thou graciously watch over us in this day, as our little ship may continue its journey to that never-ending eternity. Wilt thou help the family circles, fathers and mothers and children, grant traveling mercies, bring us together in this evening hour, and pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 115, the stanzas 3 and 4. Thou wilt command thy servants consolation, thy loving kindness yet shall cheer my day. And in the night thy song shall be my comfort. God of my life, to thee I still will pray. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. The first wedding announcement of Henrik John Vandervane and Yvonne Patricia de Wild. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory, and the pall is at the exit. Psalter 115, the stanzas 3 and 4. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.